Christopher Paolini's Eldest swept into the literary world like dragonfire, captivating millions with its continuation of Aragon's journey. This second installment of the Inheritance Cycle became an instant phenomenon, spending 121 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list and selling over 7 million copies worldwide. What makes this achievement even more remarkable is that Paolini was just 19 when he began writing it, having completed Aragon at 15 after being homeschooled his entire life. The series has attracted celebrity fans, including Christopher Lee, who narrated the audiobook, and Daniel Radcliffe, who cited it as one of his favorite fantasy series outside Harry Potter. Beyond entertainment, Eldest explores profound themes of identity, responsibility, and the moral complexities of war that resonate with readers across generations. The songs of the dead are the lamentations of the living. This haunting truth confronts Aragon as he walks among twisted Urgal corpses in Farthendur, 3 days after the battle for Trondheim. Despite Angela's healing, his body remains racked with pain whenever he attempts to assist in recovery efforts. The battle has fundamentally transformed him. His reconstructed consciousness feels fragile, vulnerable to shattering. Death and decay surround him, a stark contrast to the glory promised in heroic songs. When Jormundur brings news that Azjahad is returning from hunting escaped Urgals in the dwarf tunnels, Aragon and Saphira join others waiting at Trondheim's west gate. As Azjahad's party emerges from a distant tunnel, Urgals suddenly attack from behind. Aragon watches helplessly as they cut down Azjahad's warriors while a strange mist swirls around the combatants. Before Saphira can reach them, the Urgals retreat underground with captives. Aragon finds Azjahad dying, surrounded by slain Urgals. With his last breath, Azjahad makes Aragon promise not to let the Varden fall into chaos. Examining the bodies, they discover the twins and Murtagh are missing, apparently taken by the Urgals. This devastating ambush sets the stage for a power vacuum within the Varden, one that various factions will rush to fill. The Council of Elders, Jormundur, Umurth, Falbird, Sabre, and Elisari, quickly move to consolidate power. In a meeting beneath a blue-domed ceiling decorated with constellations, they reveal their plan to install Nisswada, Azjahad's daughter, as a puppet leader they can control. They demand Aragon's public support and insist he swear fealty to the Varden at her appointment ceremony, which would bind him to their authority. When Nisswada arrives with Arya, she appears vulnerable and grief-stricken. She humbly accepts the position as her duty when the council presents it as her rightful inheritance. After the council departs, Nisswada's demeanor shifts dramatically, revealing her true strength and determination. She has anticipated their machinations and intends to continue her father's work, bringing down the empire and dethroning Galbordorix. Recognizing her depth of character, Aragon makes a surprising decision. He kneels and pledges fealty to Nisswada personally, circumventing the council's demand. This political maneuver will have far-reaching consequences for both their futures. While Aragon navigates political intrigue with the Varden, his cousin Rohan faces his own trials in Carvajal. Trudging up the hill to visit his destroyed farm for the first time in 5 months, Rohan is overwhelmed with grief and rage. The farm had been his entire life and future, now reduced to weeds and rubble. He blames Aragon for bringing the mysterious stone that attracted the strangers and for abandoning his responsibilities after Garrow's death. With his home gone, Rohan struggles with his future. He wants to marry Katrina, the butcher's daughter, but without means to support her, he can't in good conscience ask for her hand, especially knowing her father Sloane would oppose it. He resolves to rebuild his farm before approaching Sloane next spring. Back in town, Rohan overhears troubling news. Urgals have disappeared from civilized lands, trade routes are being attacked, and troops are gathering, possibly for war with Cirta. The trapper even mentions tales of a new rider, which Rohan dismisses as wishful thinking. The situation deteriorates when Rorin and Baldur discover a camp of 30 Imperial soldiers with the two mysterious strangers who had destroyed Rorin's farm. Realizing these strangers work for the Empire and likely want him, Rorin and Baldur flee to warn Carvajal. Horst advises Rorin to hide in the foothills while they determine what the soldiers want. From his vantage point in the spine, Rorin watches as soldiers march into Carvajal and set up camp nearby. Albrecht brings supplies and information. The soldiers are specifically looking for him and Aragorn, and the two strangers are called the Razak. When the Razak and soldiers start a fire in Carvajal and refuse to negotiate, the villagers decide to fight back. Inspired by the Song of Garand, Rorin chooses a medium-sized hammer with a long handle as his weapon. The villagers ambush the Razak's camp at night, with Rorin fighting fiercely with his hammer. When the Razak emerge screeching with swords drawn, Baldur releases their horses, creating chaos. The soldiers break and run, leaving the villagers victorious. This victory proves short-lived. The Razak return with reinforcements, killing indiscriminately. Though the villagers drive them back, 10 villagers, including Parr, are killed. Before departing, one Razak singles out Rorin, noting he smells like his cousin, and demands the villagers surrender him or be eaten. The price of Aragorn's absence continues to mount as Carvajal faces destruction because of their connection to him. With Nas Suada now leading the Varden, Aragorn prepares to travel to Elsmera for training. King Hrothgar gifts him armor from the Battle of Farthendur and offers Saphira her dragon armor once repaired. When conversation turns to the shattered Isidar Mithrim, the Star Rose, Hrothgar expresses deep grief over its destruction. Saphira, feeling remorseful, makes an unexpected promise. If the dwarves can reassemble all the pieces of the gem, she believes she can use magic to make it whole again. Aragorn's journey begins with Oryk and Arya as companions, traveling through massive 30-foot doors that lead to tunnels underneath mountains to Tarnog. Though momentarily hesitant about entering the darkness and abandoning the familiar for an uncertain destiny, Aragorn takes a breath and strides forward, allowing the mountain to swallow him in its depths. Their journey takes them along the Osrogni River by raft, where Aragorn learns about dwarf customs and beliefs. Ganel, a dwarf priest, teaches him about the dwarf pantheon. Guntura, king of the gods, Kilf, goddess of rivers and sea, master of air and heavens, Morgothal, god of fire, Sindri, mother of earth, and most importantly, Helsvag, who created the first dwarf from mountain roots. Ganel explains their creation myth. How, after Helsvag made dwarves, the jealous Guntura created elves. Sindri brought forth humans, and and Morgothal released dragons. As they travel deeper into elven territory, Arya teaches Aragorn proper elven customs, explaining that elves' long lifespans necessitate extreme courtesy to prevent centuries-long grudges. She warns that elven politics move in subtle, millennia-long cycles, and that as a writer, he'll be judged by the highest standards. Upon reaching the edge of Duwelden Varden, they meet four elves who greet Arya with unexpected joy. When Saphira appears, they initially react with alarm until Aragorn reveals his Gedwe Ignazia and greets them properly in the ancient language. The elves welcome them to Saris, a small outpost of three huts clustered around a great oak tree. Approaching Elsmera, they encounter Gildarion the Wise, guardian of the city since the Dragon Wars. The forest then opens into a glade where Aragorn's perception suddenly shifts. What appeared to be twisted trees are revealed as graceful buildings growing directly from the pines. Houses rise organically from tree trunks or nestle between multiple trees, perfectly blending nature and architecture. The elves emerge cautiously from hiding, ethereally beautiful with silver and sable hair, almond eyes, and rustic tunics. They bow to the visitors, then break into song and dance, escorting them along cobblestone paths set with green tourmaline. Aragorn feels a profound sense of peace, enchanted by Elsmera's harmony with nature. Following the cobblestone path through Elsmera, Aragorn marvels at how elven buildings grow directly from living trees. Their journey ends at a hall formed entirely of melded branches, where Queen Islanzadi sits, imperious yet fragile, with slanted eyebrows, bright red lips, and midnight hair under a diamond diadem. When Arya kneels before her, Islanzadi embraces her, crying, "Oh my daughter, I have wronged you," revealing to Aragorn's shock that Arya is royalty. After celebrations and feasting, Islanzadi leads Aragorn and Saphira to a wooded knoll and demands they swear in the ancient language never to reveal what they're about to see without royal permission. At the knoll's summit, they reach a cliff dropping 1,000 feet to the endless forest below. Suddenly, powerful concussions shake the air, and from below rises an enormous gold dragon with a rider on its back. This is Oromus, the cripple who is whole, and his dragon Glade, the last free rider and dragon from before the fall. Oromus explains he cannot fight Galbatorix because the Forsworn broke something within him during his captivity, leaving him unable to control magic except for the smallest spells. He has bound himself with hundreds of small spells to delay a terminal condition until he could train the next rider. Oromus takes Aragorn to his home on the crags of Telnair, a small hut grown between 4 trees overlooking Duwelden Varden. There, he establishes himself as Aragorn's master, demanding proper respect and deference. When Aragorn expresses fear about his own back injury, Oromus firmly states that training must proceed despite the pain, as their duty cannot be shirked. Aragorn's training begins with seemingly simple tasks, meditating in a glade to observe ants, practicing the Rimgar, a series of poses similar to yoga, and studying the ancient language. When Aragorn focuses too narrowly on the ants rather than maintaining awareness of all surrounding life equally, Oromus assigns him daily meditation until he can watch one and know all. During language instruction, Aragorn learns he mistakenly cursed rather than blessed the orphan child in Farthendur by using Skolir, shield, instead of Skoliro, shielded. Horrified, Aragorn realizes he condemned the child to absorb other suffering. Oromus explains that Saphira's marking of the child creates an unprecedented situation and reminds Aragorn of his responsibility toward the girl. As training progresses, Oromus challenges Aragorn's reasons for fighting the Empire, asking whether their war might cause more suffering than it prevents. When Aragorn struggles to justify his position beyond simply declaring Galbatorix evil, Oromus instructs him to ponder the matter until he can provide a convincing answer. These philosophical challenges force Aragorn to develop not just as a warrior, but as a thinker capable of understanding the moral complexities of his role. While Aragorn trains with Oromus, Rohan faces increasing danger in Carvajal. After another attack by the Ra'zac, young Elmund is killed by a spear, leaving Rohan desperate to find a safe haven for the village's children. At a meeting in Horst's home, Rohan proposes they send the children, mothers, and infirm to hide in the Spine Mountains, where the Ra'zac and soldiers won't follow. His suggestion provokes outrage, particularly from Sloane, who declares, "I'll be hanged before I set foot in those cursed mountains." Despite concerns about the dangers, Rohan argues passionately that the Spine remains their only refuge. When he appeals directly to Delwyn, who lost his son Elmund, and to Birgit about protecting her son Nothavrel, the villagers begin to reluctantly agree. Determined to protect Katrina, Rohan visits her at her father's home to convince her to join those fleeing to the mountains. Katrina initially refuses, insisting she should stay to fight alongside him. When Rohan pleads that he needs her safe to focus on defending Carvajal, she demands a promise, that he will never again ask her to leave him, even if they faced Galbatorix himself. Though it pains him deeply, Rohan gives his word. The next morning, as the villagers prepare to depart for the Spine, Sloane discovers Katrina among those preparing to leave. He erupts in fury, grabbing her pack and attempting to drag her away. Rohan intervenes, publicly announcing their engagement. When forced to choose between her father and Rohan, Katrina tearfully chooses Rohan. Humiliated and heartbroken, Sloane disowns her. That night, Katrina secretly slips into Roran's room. Their moment together is violently interrupted when soldiers blast through the door accompanied by the Razak. With a sword at Roran's throat and Katrina screaming beside him, the Razak order him bound and taken away. When Katrina attacks the soldiers, Roran seizes his hammer and fights with superhuman strength, killing three men while wounding others. As Horst and his sons respond to the commotion, the Razak grab Katrina and flee. Roran pursues them to the window, where one Razak catches his wrist. In desperation, Roran tears back its hood, revealing a horrifying face. Shiny black skin, lidless eyes like hematite orbs, and a sharp beak instead of mouth and nose. Despite Horst's help, the Razak bites through Roran's shoulder muscle and breaks his wrist before escaping with Katrina. To Roran's horror, he witnesses not only Katrina bound as prisoner, but Sloane walking freely with the Razak. Realizing Sloane betrayed them by killing the watchman Bird and helping the Razak, Roran watches helplessly as both Katrina and an unconscious Sloane are carried away on the flying beasts. After recovering from his injuries, Roran conceives an audacious plan, convincing the entire village to abandon Carvajal and journey to Cirta to join the Vardan. This would allow him to both save his people and gain the information needed to rescue Katrina. Drawing strength from his vision of Katrina, Roran delivers an impassioned speech, showing his bleeding palm as a symbol of their shared pain. He condemns Galborix as evil, recounts their losses, and presents his plan to cross the spine to Narda, sail to Cirta, and join the Vardan's resistance. Under Roran's leadership, the villagers journey through the spine to Narda, a small coastal town. There, Roran negotiates passage on three barges owned by Captain Clovis. When the Razak's flying mount nearly discovers their camp, the villagers eagerly agree to travel by barge. As they prepare to depart, alarm bells sound in Narda after Roran kills two soldiers who recognized him. Clovis initially feels deceived upon discovering his livestock cargo is actually the entire village of Carvajal. But Roran convinces him to honor their bargain through a mixture of threats and honesty about their flight from the Empire. Back in El's Mara, Aragorn continues his training with Oromis and Glaedor. Despite his dedication, Aragorn's back injury causes multiple debilitating attacks daily. He names this pain the Obliterator for how it strips away everything that makes him who he is. Despite his suffering, Oromis urges him to persevere, reminding him that as riders, they stand between light and dark. Aragorn's sparring partner, Vanir, treats him with contempt, easily defeating him in combat and mocking his abilities. When Vanir insults Saphira, suggesting she chose the wrong rider, Aragorn attacks with unexpected ferocity. Vanir reveals the elves' bitter disappointment. After 80 years of hiding from Galbatorix, they had hoped for a powerful rider to defeat him, but instead got another human like Galbatorix, and worse, a cripple. As the Agaiati Blúthrin Blood Oath celebration approaches, Aragorn grows enchanted by the timeless elven city. Days blend together in the Pinewood Haven, where flowers of all seasons bloom simultaneously through elven magic. The forest animals show no fear of hunters. Aragorn often witnesses elves petting deer, foxes, and bears. During the celebration, Aragorn experiences the event in vivid but disconnected flashes, losing track of time in the enchanted atmosphere. He remembers dancing with an elf maid, watching musicians perched in the Manoa tree, and hearing countless poems. The elves present remarkable creations, glass balls with blooming flowers, musical lilies, and Runon's unbreakable shield and metal wren sculpture. Strange creatures emerge from the forest depths, drawn by the magic. Both animals and elves who have altered their forms, including fur-covered elves, webbed-fingered swimmers, and dragon-scaled beings. On the third day, Aragorn presents his poem about a man destined to defeat death, revealing his personal fears and journey. Saphira then reveals her creation, an intricate black stone sculpture she shaped by breathing fire upon it, amazing the assembled elves with her artistry. As the celebration reaches its climax, two identical elf maids, Iduna and Nea, the caretakers, perform a ritual dance with a dragon tattoo that spans both their bodies, which through magic comes alive and manifests as a spectral dragon. The creature touches Aragorn's Gedwe Ignacia, sending incandescent heat through his body before he loses consciousness. When Aragorn awakens, he discovers he has been transformed. His face has become more angular, his senses sharper, and his body stronger. Most importantly, his back injury has been healed. The dragon's magic has changed him, making him more elf than human. This transformation grants him elven strength and speed, allowing him to finally defeat Vanir in combat. The elf, who had previously scorned him, bows respectfully and acknowledges Aragorn as worthy of the title Rider. While Aragorn completes his training, Nasuada and the Varden prepare for war. Intelligence reports suggest Galbatorix is gathering forces, though they cannot determine his timeline. Nasuada has been spreading rumors about Aragorn's prowess, hoping to inspire cities like Dras Leona to join their cause without requiring sieges. Meanwhile, Rohirrim and the villagers of Carvajal have stolen the Dragonwing, a ship owned by the Blackmoor Shipping Company, a front for the Empire. With the help of Jed Longshanks, an agent for the Varden, they sail for Cirta. During their journey, they are pursued by three black-sailed Empire sloops. To escape, they sail through the Boar's Eye, a massive whirlpool between Bearland and Nea Islands. While the Dragonwing manages to pull free of the whirlpool's grip, the pursuing sloops are drawn toward the center and destroyed. As Aragorn completes his training with Oromus, he scries Nasuada and discovers the Varden preparing for battle. He then checks on Rohirrim, finding him bearded and desperate aboard a ship with the villagers of Carvajal. To his horror, Aragorn discovers Carvajal has been completely destroyed. With renewed determination, Aragorn decides they've remained isolated too long. It is time, he tells Saphira, committing to their fight against the Empire. Aragorn, Saphira, and Oryk fly directly to Aberon, Cirta's capital, where they learn that Orin, Nasuada, and the Varden have marched to confront Galbatorix's army at the Burning Plains, where underground peat fires have smoldered for years, matching Aragorn's premonition of warriors clashing on an orange field. At the Burning Plains, Aragorn reunites with Nasuada and meets Elva, the strange black-haired girl with violet eyes who bears his Gedwe Ignacia mark on her forehead. Kneeling before her, Aragorn apologizes for the curse he unwittingly placed upon her. Elva reveals she's tormented by constant awareness of others suffering and compelled to help them. Aragorn promises to remove the spell after the battle. As the battle begins, Aragorn methodically eliminates enemy magicians with his mind, astonished at how easily he can kill from a distance. When Nasuada appears, wounded and desperate, she begs Aragorn to fight openly as a rider to inspire their forces. Aragorn and Saphira merge their identities, becoming a single entity as they tear through enemy ranks. Despite their efforts, the Empire's endless ranks gradually force the Varden to retreat. Just as hope fades, King Hrothgar arrives with the dwarf army, reinvigorating the Varden's spirits. As Aragorn and Saphira prepare to rejoin the battle, news comes of a ship approaching on the Jeet River, the Dragonwing carrying Rohirrim and the villagers of Carvajal. When their eyes meet, Rohirrim feels conflicted emotions, joy at seeing his cousin alive, but also anger over Aragorn's role in Garrow's death and Carvajal's destruction. After ensuring the villagers' safety, Aragorn confronts a mysterious enemy rider on a red dragon. After a fierce aerial battle, Aragorn faces the steel-clad rider in swordplay. Despite his skill, Aragorn's exhaustion hampers him and he begins losing ground. When he finally slips and falls, he notices something familiar in his opponent's fighting style. Aragorn rips off the rider's helmet, revealing Murtaugh, alive, despite having supposedly died beneath Farthendur. Murtaugh explains that the twins orchestrated Ajahad's ambush to capture him for Galbatorix. In Urabain, a dragon named Thorn hatched for him, and Galbatorix forced them both to swear loyalty in the ancient language. Murtaugh reveals Galbatorix's true plan. He wants Saphira alive to breed with his male dragon and rebuild the riders under his control. When Aragorn offers to help free him from his oaths, Murtaugh explains that Galbatorix knows their true names, making escape impossible. Even Aragorn's suggestion that they allow themselves to be killed is rejected. Murtaugh values his and Thorn's lives too much to sacrifice them. The confrontation reaches its climax when Murtaugh immobilizes both Aragorn and Saphira with magic of impossible strength. After a failed attempt to break free, Aragorn learns the shocking truth. Murtaugh is his brother, both sons of Morzan and Selena. Taking Zarok as his birthright, Murtaugh spares Aragorn but warns their next meeting will end differently. Left devastated by this revelation, Aragorn watches as the battle concludes with the Empire retreating, though at terrible cost to both sides. Among the carnage, they encounter Urek and other dwarves mourning King Hrothgar's death, killed by Murtaugh during the battle. Aragorn is then confronted by his cousin Rohan, who punches him before explaining that the Ra'zac captured Katrina. In Nasuada's pavilion, Aragorn reveals the shocking truth about Murtaugh and his own parentage. Nasuada and Arya insist this must remain secret to protect morale. Upon reuniting with the villagers from Carvajal, Aragorn feels strangely disconnected from his former neighbors, who now regard him with awe. The revelation of his parentage shakes Aragorn to his core. He had always believed he was the son of Garrow's brother-in-law Brom, only to discover he is the son of the first and most powerful of the Forsworn, Morzan, the man who betrayed the riders to Galbatorix. This knowledge forces Aragorn to question his identity and destiny. Is he destined to follow in his father's footsteps, or can he forge his own path? The answer to this question will shape not only his future, but the fate of Alagaesha itself. As Eldest concludes, the stage is set for the next phase of the conflict. The Vardin has survived its first major battle against the Empire, but at great cost. King Hrothgar is dead, and the dwarves must choose a new leader. Nasuada has proven herself as the Vardin's commander, but faces the challenge of maintaining morale in the face of Galbatorix's seemingly endless resources. Aragorn has completed his initial training with Oromus and Glade, gaining new abilities through his transformation during the Ageaiti Bladrin. However, he now faces a personal crisis regarding his parentage and must confront the reality that his brother serves Galbatorix. He has also promised to help Rohan rescue Katrina from the Ra'zac stronghold at Helgrind. Rohan has emerged as a leader in his own right, guiding the villagers of Carvajal to safety and demonstrating remarkable courage and determination. His quest to rescue Katrina will test him further, forcing him to confront the darkest aspects of the Empire's power. The revelation of Murtaugh as a rider under Galbatorix's control changes the dynamics of the conflict. The Empire now has two riders against the Vardin's one, and Murtaugh's enhanced abilities make him a formidable opponent. Galbatorix's plan to breed Saphira with his male dragon adds urgency to the Vardin's mission. They must prevent the tyrant from establishing a new generation of riders under his control. As the dust settles on the burning plains, one thing becomes clear. The true battle has only just begun. The fate of Alagaesha hangs in the balance, and the choices made by Aragorn, Rohan, and their allies will determine whether freedom or tyranny prevails. The path forward is fraught with danger, but also with possibility. The possibility of forging new alliances, discovering hidden strengths, and ultimately challenging the dark power that has held Alagaesha in its grip for a century.